Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today live from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline where the skies are cloudy and it is cold and getting colder. Yesterday it was 65 degrees. In the morning, it'll be about 14 degrees, thus showing that the weather pattern in Atlanta is bipolar. Speaking of things that are amiss psychologically, we have as our guest today Dr. Robert McGee, who has the first of a two-part series that we're going to be talking about and that we're going to be putting on our website, on our fan page. And the name of that is The Search for Significance, and we would just love for you to go on, find us, and like us, which will put you put us on your news feed. At any rate, Dr. McGee, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you, Jack?
I'm just out here kicking tail and taking names, trying to keep warm. You're in Florida, I understand, where it's a bit warmer.
Today, tomorrow, it's supposed to be a little cooler. Incidentally, I have sent you a link, a YouTube link, that I'd like to describe for our listeners and then talk about what it means, okay?
Okay. We'll put this up on the Search for Significance webpage also, and it'll also be on our website, www.mcgeeandme.net, mcgeeandme.net. Okay, enough of the commercials. Go ahead, Doctor.
Well, this YouTube video I found several months ago, and it is a recreation of what it would look like if you were on top of the Himalayas and you went from the top of the Himalayas to and you blasted off there and you went straight up and you began to go toward the edge of the universe, right? And it's a very interesting video because you see yourself going up higher, going up off of the earth into the where the artificial satellites are, and then you go past the moon, and then all of a sudden you're going past the planets, past everything, and into the universe, right? And you might ask yourself, well, what good does that do? Well, as you do that, you all of a sudden become aware of how big the universe is, right? And then when you realize that Jesus Christ made all that, right? He is the creator of all that. He is the maintainer of all that. You will begin to recognize how magnificent he is. I think the problem with most Christians today is they have lost track of who Jesus really is. He is a creator, maintainer, God. And in that process, once you understand who he really is, then to recognize what he's done for us begins to get in perspective, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I
and
do.
So therefore, I have that, and it takes a person about 6 minutes to watch this thing. At the end of it, when you understand Jesus created all that, right? He maintains it even today. He maintained it when he was on the cross. That's just who he is. And once you begin to recognize who he is, then you begin to look at your own life. And life is pretty tough, all right? And it's fairly complex. But when you realize that Jesus made all that that you just observed, I mean, and it was a recreation, true, all right? But when you understand that he made all of that, then you can begin to look at him and his role in your life and realize there's nothing that you're going through that's too big and complex for him.
You know, I've seen this video, and I looked at it when I did see it from the perspective of I have my own little world, and there are some people that are important in it, some people that are big players, medium players, small players, acquaintances, unimportant people, and all the rest. But my little world is exactly that. And when you, all you can conceptualize as a human pretty much is our solar system. And here we are, we're just very small in comparison to our solar system. But then when you get outside of this, and, you know, you think, well, you're not even quite a dot on the Earth. And then the Earth is just a little bit bigger than a dot in our solar system. And then when you get outside of that, the sun is just a dot. And it is really breathtaking, and it gives you an idea of the magnitude of creation. And as deep and complex as all of that is, it only goes to the limit of our understanding of what creation is, which certainly isn't complete. And, you know, 50 years from now or 100 years from now, you know, it may be a great deal greater than what we really even think now.
Well, the fact is that when we realize that when we talk about Christ, we're talking about the God who created all of this. And he maintains it all by his very person. And now we look at our little lives and we go, well, now, who do I want to talk to about my life? Maybe I want to talk about the one who made all this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he's got the ability to take care of my life. And we have decreased our understanding of Jesus down to where we don't even talk to him about our lives, you know? And this is just craziness to have Jesus who is willing to intervene in our lives, and yet we don't recognize who he is.
So, well, that's true. I mean, that's just kind of, it illustrates as well as anything exactly what he's done in comparison. I mean, you know, the thing that is, how did he keep all of this together when he was on the cross? That's kind of
if we accept the fact that he created it all, I mean, so much more than our mind can comprehend how he even created it all, right? I thought about. Mm-hmm. There was a headline on Drudge about a week or so ago about the NSA keeping track of 5 million texts a day, you know. And I thought to myself, well, that's nothing. God knew about the texts before they were actually created. He kept track of all that, and we just think we're so complex and we're so difficult to understand and all the rest of it. When God has it all taken care of, he knows all of this. I was talking to our mutual friend, Pat, this afternoon, he was negotiating some kind of a deal with some people, and these people were wealthy people, and they had a lot of sophistication and all, and Pat was pretty impressed with them. And I wasn't impressed with them at all. I mean, they are who they are, all right? Who I'm impressed with is Jesus Christ, who has done all this, all right? And if we need wisdom. Why do we go to people to try to gain wisdom? I mean, they don't have any wisdom compared to who Christ is. And Christ says that if we lack wisdom, he'll be happy to give us the wisdom we need and supply the understanding we need to deal with people like the people Pat and I are going to be dealing with over the next few days. I mean, I'm much more at ease.
Robert,
yeah.
Tell the people where, you know, what the scriptural reference is to that you've just said. Because I think that we need to kind of keep that in there for them
He says if we lack wisdom, then we should come to him and he will supply us the wisdom out of his, you know, that we need. My blood sugar is low right now, so I don't remember the address for all these things, but I do know it's in James. He says that if we lack wisdom, that we are to come to
James
him.
James 1, if we lack wisdom, to come to him, and he will give it. And just for the listeners also, about everything being created by Christ, that's John 1. And, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things came into being through him. This is the core thing that Robert is talking about right now, and it's extremely important idea, because if you don't get this, it's more like if you do get this, then it stabilizes you, and you're not tossed about by all of the things. I'll give you an example. I see these things on Facebook with many of my Facebook friends who are just really very discouraged and, you know, about the way the country's going and about the leadership we have and things like that. And yet at the same time, they don't really grasp the authority of God and that he is in charge regardless of what the NSA does or the IRS, you know, or the Justice Department or presidential.
The Mullahs are over there contemplating how to destroy Israel. Well, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to get by with that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think God will turn their desert into glass before that one happens. You know, I mean, man has his little schemes, and the present administration has all its little schemes. Quite frankly, they're just a bunch of monkeys to God. I mean, he hasn't lost any sleep over what man has planned at all. And man plans and God will thwart their plans. And we just need to, I mean, God's waiting for his children to turn to him. And we need to, but, you know, there we are, all right?
You know, and of course they said that you know, that they're just kind of monkeys to God. It did remind me when you were talking about the mullahs and them being allowed to get nukes, you know, against Israel and everything. Reminded me of what the foreign secretary of Russia said about our national leader. Said he's just a monkey with a grenade.
Yeah.
He did say that. This is not me, folks. keep those emails and send them, you know, to Putin and his guy. At any rate, that I had to throw it in because I remembered it.
Well, I'm glad you did. I mean, look, we need to keep our eye on who actually calls the shot. One of the things I've learned over the last few years is that I've gone through a lot of deals that haven't made, some of them have, et cetera. But it's not focusing on the people that people think are the ones that make the deals get done or not done, because God is the one who's in charge of all this. So the first thing I think that I'd like for people to be able to do is to stop. And we put this video up on our website with the universe and think about this Jesus Christ that keeps all this in place. And if you begin at that point, then everything else, our little lives where we have all this complexity, we think that our problems are so big and everything is so out of control. We go to God. God says, okay, first of all, he says to come to him, those of us who are heavy laden, and he will give us rest. He tells us to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. And so there, that's where we begin. And if we don't begin there, then we're in a world of hurt, all right? We don't get out of the mess we're in. But once the other part of it is we have to also begin with what his attitude towards us, that we have a misunderstanding about his heart of mercy. He says he's long-suffering towards us. He says he's not willing for us that we should perish, and that he has taken care of our sin problem. So there are many things that God says that he has done for us. But to begin with, we have to start with who he is, and so I really would encourage our listeners to go to the website and click on this link and think about who it is that keeps everything in place, not only in our lives, but just the atoms in our body he keeps in place. So if we will begin there, then everything else will keep, have a orientation. I remember a woman I know was in a broken down building in England, and God told her, and she was sitting there in this little shack of a deal, and he told her, he said, go to that window over there and look out and tell me what you see. And she did, and she looked at it, and she said, well, somebody has just thrown a bunch of garbage out there. And he said, okay, now go to the other side of the building where there's the window and look out there. And she said, oh, well, this is a beautiful flower garden. And he said, yes, that's right. She said, it's really a matter of perspective of what you're looking at. And so today, as people get focused in on the craziness of Washington, D.C., the craziness of their lives, if they don't look at who's in charge, they will be in absolute desperation. One of the things that I'm pretty convinced of is that we're about to lose the economy in the U.S. and that people need to protect their money and their investment, because it was pretty close today, I thought, to begin to roll off and go down the steep cliff. The people that I have a lot of confidence believe that we're going to see the markets fall probably by 50%, which will really scare everybody to death. But the fact of the matter is that God is still in control, And one of the things he's wanting me to tell people is get your money protected in the market. There are certain ways you can do that where you can look, it's not going to continue going up much further before it at least comes down a certain amount. Some people are saying 10%. Some people are saying 50%. I think people are crazy to have their assets or their life savings in this market that's gone up as much as it has. I really do. I just don't see how it's possible to continue to go up.
Well, the reason that the market has gone up is because they're pumping $85 billion into it every month with institutional buying that is from money that is just printed that has no value. So essentially the inflated status of it is all funny money and isn't based upon growth, but upon essentially, since most of the world trades in dollars, using other people's wealth to increase our own without any kind of basis in reality. That's the kind of the key of that particular thing. It is a little off subject for what we usually talk about, but it is definitely critical, because if you take people's livelihoods away from them, the terror that will produce and the need for them to be able to say, oh my God, and mean it rather than oh my God.
Yeah, I just think there's two, everything is too shaky right now. My son has been tracking this for many years, has pulled all his cash out of the market. Now, I do believe there's an inflation thing that's happening here, but I just can't conceive of, I was looking today, and the big money, the money that has multi-millions of dollars, they aren't in the market any longer, right? And what they're investing in are things that they can actually run themselves. So, as it is. I would like for people to go to our website, where I'm going to put up some more things there for them to consider about who God is to them and his love, his unconditional love, the fact that God actually calls us to cry out to him as daddy, father, to rest in him. And with our focus being on all this other mess, I just don't think that we're prepared to go through what we're about ready to have to go through because of men's stupidity.
Well, doesn't that make sense? Stacy, tell everybody where they can locate us, because there are several things that we have, and so tell everybody what we're doing and why we're trying to help them and everything.
Sure. Our website is www.mcgeeandme.net, and that's mcgeeandme. And they can also call 800-460-4673, and I would love to help them.
And they can also like us on the Search for Significance page on Facebook, and
yes,
we'll have links to all of these things there. So everybody that really wants to take a look at anything that we've got, we kind of cross-pollinate with this, and this is going to but like us on Facebook so that you can stay in good contact with us. Robert, we got about 2 minutes left.
Well, outside the fact that we need to focus in on how magnificent Christ is, and that he is the creator and he is the maintainer, I mean, every atom in the universe, Jesus looks after and makes sure that everything that's circling around it, all the electrons, everything is happening because he has made sure it happens the way it's supposed to. So if we have such an unbelievably wonderful God, why would we go about focusing in on others and what they're concerned about and what they're doing and all the rest of that? We just need to rest in him. And that's what he wants us to do. And that's why I set this up, and that's why he actually disclosed who he is. I mean, think about, if he had not disclosed who he is to us, we would have never figured this one out. And yet he did.
Yeah.
And he did it for a purpose. I mean, there's
and one
no
of the
way.
Was to fret not. It leads to evil doing. And we got a lot of evil doing because there's a lot of fretting.
Yeah, I mean, man's going to get much more evil. Things are going to be much more crazy. And at this point in time, we need to rest and learn to how to rest in him. In fact, the only thing that Scripture tells us to be fearful of is to miss out on our rest in him. That's the only thing it tells us we should be fearful of. So that, and he said that we should guard our minds from anxious thoughts. The only way that you're going to keep from being anxious is to look at him and see what a magnificent, complete, wonderful God he is. And he's so much bigger than our mind can comprehend that if we just look at him, our mind will begin to go into a rest mode as we focus on him. And if we don't look at him, we can never get there. There's nothing we can do that can bring our mind at rest outside of focusing upon who he is and what he's done for us.
It's a pretty powerful message that you brought here today. And people have such a propensity to look at their own lives, their own situations, their own fretting and distress, and that becomes their universe. When you step outside of it, like you opened up with by saying, you're just going up and all of a sudden you just see how small you would be as a person on the earth, and then how small the earth is in our solar system, and then how small our solar system is in comparison to the galaxy and beyond, and that all of this came into being through the Lord, and that without him nothing came into being that is in being. That is a very stabilizing thought, and not just a thought, but it's kind of like the position that you need to be in as a believer to just kind of stand your ground with that. If you can just do that, then the winds and of travail and all the rest of it will not knock you down. And that's what we need, strong men and women in the Lord for these last days, for the trouble that is inevitable ahead of us. And that's all the time that we have for today. We're going to pick this up as a second part next week, everybody. And so let me say thank you, Stacy, and thank you, Dr. McGee. And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.